You're listening to The Dollop on the All Things Comedy Network. Now, this is an American history podcast, and each week, I, reader of books, trimmer of bushes,
bud,
player of ping pong,
buddy,
Dave Anthony, reads a story from American history
to
my friend,
to Gareth Reynolds, who has no idea what the topic is going to be about.
Bush. Now, I wasn't talking about like the garden.
Let's hit the intro. Can we get the intro?
What I do is I go down to the YMCA, and in the locker room,
down out.
Calder quote is jam packed.
Jam packed.
I'm the fucking hippo guy.
Dave, okay.
My name's Gary.
Wait,
is it for fun?
And this is not going to become the Tickling Podcast.
Okay.
This is like anarchy.
On a 5-part coefficient.
My room's a place.
Now hit him with the puppy.
You both present sick arguments.
No sleep till hippo.
No sleep till hippo.
Action part.
Hi, Gary.
No.
Nicely done, my friend.
No. No.
Rhoda. Rhoda. Rhoda.
Oh, us.
We are so fun.
At this age, we're adorable.
My goodness.
Should I just get into my dates?
Yeah.
Should we talk about podcast dates?
No, you can.
You can go to thedolloppodcast.com/tour schedule or just go on thedolloppodcast.com and click on tour schedule and see all the tour dates. We have a bunch of them coming up.
Boise, Denver, Salt Lake City.
Salt Lake City, as I call it.
Chicago.
Chicago.
The one in Michigan.
Cleveland.
Royal Oak, I think it is. Cleveland. Yeah, there's a bunch. Tons there's Nashville. Go look and see if there's a city near you. Pittsburgh, etc.
Then I will also be at the Tempe Improv with Dan Cummings May 31st through June 2nd. I'll be at the Stress Factory in New Jersey June 21st through 23rd. Laughs Comedy Club Seattle June 29th and 30th. And for the Tempe show, you can use promo code DOLLOP for $10 tickets on all of the shows there.
Don't ever do that.
Snapples.
Now, Aaron, this is the worst podcast that's recorded in the studio, right?
Be honest.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
You guys, we are also sponsored by FabFitFun. The FabFitFun Summer Box is here, a seasonal subscription box for women to discover new products for a life well lived. You get it 4 times a year for just $49.99 a box. FabFitFun delivers a box, a full size, of fashion, beauty, home, fitness, and wellness products. My wife loves it. She gets it. She takes stuff out and she holds it up and goes, "This is my color." Or she pulls out a poncho and runs around with it on. It's very exciting for her. She screams. I just look at her and go, I don't get any of that. There's a new one. The new one, the summer one's here, which is, you know, pretty exciting for people who like summer. Sign up for FabFitFun today to get your summer box. The FabFitFun summer box is in limited supply, and these boxes always sell out. Use code DOLLOP to get $10 off your first box. Go to FabFitFun.com to sign up and start getting the box for a life well lived. Use promo code DOLLOP, get $10 off your first box. That's $200 of sweet box stuff for only $39.99. Go to FabFitFun.com and use code DOLLOP. Get $10 off your first FabFitFun box. You guys, we are also sponsored by Blue Apron, the leading meal kit delivery service in the United States. Now, a lot of people know what they do, but maybe they don't know what kind of meals they can get when they cook with Blue Apron. You're not just getting burgers. You're making short rib burgers with a happy cheddar sauce on a pretzel bun. So think about that. You're making seared steaks and thyme pan roasted with mashed potatoes, green beans, and crispy shallots. You can all do it in under 45 minutes. You don't have to go to the grocery store. It comes to you. It's all prepackaged. It's ready to put in a pan. They tell you what to do. You can be a moron and make this stuff. And we know that because I make it. It's the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. You can get different meal plans. You get a two-person meal plan, a family meal plan. You can get a wine plan. Right now, coming up, they got some good meals. I'm gonna make the salmon and spicy orange salsa with quinoa and carrot salad. That's ridiculous. I don't even know how that's legal. So, Right now, Blue Apron is offering listeners to our podcast their first three meals free. When it comes to dinner, let Blue Apron take care of planning and shopping while you do the cooking and eating. They're really good meals. I make them all the time now, like three times a week, I think. And then I eat them and I make my family watch because they don't get any. I get to eat it all. Seriously. So check out this week's menu. Get your first three meals free at blueapron.com/dollop. Blue Apron, it's a better way to cook. And guys, are you hiring, posting your position to job sites, and just waiting and waiting and waiting for the right people to see it? Well, no more do you have to do that, because now we have ZipRecruiter.com. They knew there was a smarter way to do this, and they built a platform that finds the right job candidates for you. ZipRecruiter learns what you're looking for, identifies people with the right experience, and invites them to apply to your job. 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. The right candidates are out there. ZipRecruiter is how you find them. Right now, listeners, we obviously use ZipRecruiter because Gareth has Garcorg on. It's a business where he needs about six people to carry his cat across the room to the bowl, back and forth to the water, then to the couch. So he's always looking for good candidates for cat carrying. So right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right. I said free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/dollop. That's ZipRecruiter.com/dollop. ZipRecruiter.com/dollop. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Yeah.
June 2014.
No, I don't like this one bit. What, sir?
The Dakota Access Pipeline, or a
No, I'm not ready.
What's happening?
Aaron's not ready. We're not ready.
I think you might be surprised. The Dakota Access Pipeline, or Bakken Pipeline, was announced to the public. It was to begin in the Bakken shale oil fields in northwest North Dakota, and then it was to go through South Dakota and Iowa to Pocota, Illinois, right?
Sure.
In September, an informational meeting was held with the Standing Rock Sioux Tribal Council to explain to them how great this was going to be for them.
Sure.
In April 2016, a Standing Rock Sioux elder established a camp near the Missouri River, which was in the reservation. It was to be the spiritual resistance center for the pipeline. Pipeline constructed started June 16th, and protests began. Mm-hmm. Word got out, protests grew. More people came. Now, some people say, what would you rather? I always say no DAPL, but some people call it no DAPL.
Ooh, I like DAPL.
Okay.
Let's have a DAPL and DAPL.
The no DAPL movement began. The tribe fought the pipeline in court. People from all over the country began taking notice.
Right.
Wesley Clark Jr. was a 49-year-old Army veteran with a pedigree.
Wesley Clark Jr.?
Mm-hmm.
With Wesley Clark. Is he 49?
Wesley Clark Jr. His father is Wesley Clark.
Okay, I'm a little confused because Wesley Clark looks... Okay, keep going.
Wesley Clark Jr., his father's Wesley Clark. Wesley sure. Clark was an Army general who wrote several books, campaigned for the Democratic presidential nomination in 2004. Right. So younger Clark had spent time in Hollywood as a screenwriter. He even got a movie made.
Sure.
Because of his pedigree. Air Bud. Yes. Air Bud. Correct. Well, he's a big
based
fan.
On his dad's.
Yeah. It's based on his dad had a dog basketball team.
Yeah.
In Afghanistan.
Bingo.
Because of his pedigree, Clark's name carried weight. His politics got him on as an occasional guest and host of The Young Turks, a popular progressive internet news
sure.
show. On Twitter, Clark started following a man named Michael Wood. Okay. Wood grew up in the suburbs of Baltimore, and then he became a cop in Baltimore, where he worked for 11 years.
Okay.
After he left the force, he became outspoken about police brutality, especially on Twitter.
Okay.
This is probably the first podcast that has ever mentioned Twitter.
Of ours.
Of ours.
Yeah. No, I feel like.
Although we might have done one about.
We did one about 1800s.
Yeah, we did. Wood was often quoted by media in October 2016. Clark and Wood met for the first time in person on the Young Turks.
Okay.
Made a friendship.
Sure.
Bonded over their similar politics.
Sure.
In November, an elder of the Standing Rock Sioux reached out to Clark to ask if he could help raise awareness with veterans.
Okay.
Clark, quote, "It lit a fire in my heart."
Okay.
"This seemed like change to do a whole lot of good. I was also shocked. I was following what was going on there. I saw people clearly being abused. It wouldn't have happened if they were white."
Correct. Now on to the lightning round.
I mean, literally, it was supposed to go through a white town, and they moved it, so that's...
Oh, yeah. Jesus.
Did you not know that?
No.
The pipeline was originally supposed to go through a white town, or near a white town, and they all fucking shit their pants, so they just changed it to the Indian reservation. Clark immediately called...
White people.
White
people.
Winning forever.
We will do what's right for us.
Clark immediately called Wood. They discussed, and both wanted to go to Standing Rock.
Okay.
They made the plan to head out on December 3rd, which was about 1 month off.
Okay. 1 month off? What do you mean?
One month away,
right,
from when they decided to go.
Right. Okay.
Wood thought his social media following, combined with Clark's reputation, they could easily mobilize vets to go to Standing Rock. So
right.
That's the plan. Get a bunch of vets, go to Standing Rock. They hit the ground running and put out the word. By November 10th, 2016, they recruited a few volunteers. Now here's a... Sedef Bukadiman was brought in by Clark.
Okay.
So she, ex-vet.
Right.
Not an ex-vet.
No, I quit saying that I went to war. I gave that up.
Well, it's been 15 years, so I'm no longer a vet.
No longer a vet. Passed it. Drew it. Did the 15 tenure.
I'm out.
I'm done.
She believed Clark was a close friend, even though they had just met on Twitter a few months before. Sedef said she would handle social media.
Okay.
She had worked in human resources, so she offered to help with planning of the whole venture.
Sure.
Sedef worked out of her studio apartment in Santa Monica. Veteran Chris Dusing was brought in to handle travel logistics.
Okay.
So putting together a team.
Sure.
To get this whole thing going.
Right. An A-team.
A-team.
We're in a montage
right now. It's definitely an A-team.
Just so you know.
They called their group Veterans Stand for Standing Rock.
Okay.
Decided to set up a GoFundMe. Clark did not want his bank account to link to the GoFundMe page, so Wood set up the page and connected it to his personal banking account.
Mm.
What?
Just something about that I just...
It's fine.
I don't love it. I don't love it.
Being the more famous of the...
I'll build a pipe from this to my bank account.
Being the more famous of the group, Clark's face was used as the campaign organizer on the GoFundMe page. Kicked off on November 11th. The goal was $100,000. Money started trickling into Wood's personal bank account. In North Dakota, the protest was growing and growing. Protesters were pouring in from all over the country. Sedef and Dussing kept track of all the interested veterans on a Google spreadsheet. That's okay. That's how you want to do it. It's Google spreadsheet. Keep organized. Put the names in there.
Yeah, I see no problem so far with that.
By November 18th, a few hundred people had signed on.
Okay.
So that's just like 10 days later, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The GoFundMe page was at $14,000. The money would be used for food, transportation, and supplies. It's all fine, right?
Mm.
Sounds good.
Mm.
Gonna go help people.
I'm retracing something we've already talked about.
At the protest, things became more violent. The local sheriff's department battled with people calling themselves water protectors. The cops shot rubber bullets and sprayed water cannons in 20-degree weather.
Yeah, we've seen that footage. Cool.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Also kind of just rude to do to water protectors.
Protect this motherfucker. It's cold.
No!
Yeah,
awful.
300 people were injured, 26 hospitalized. This was the most violent, overt government action toward Native Americans since 1973. Sedef said, quote, "Everything exploded after that. Money started pouring in." Would increase the GoFundMe goal to $750,000.
Okay.
There were 1,000 veteran volunteers now.
Okay.
People were asking questions that Wood and the other organizers couldn't answer, as they had not been planned yet. Like, would they provide food, rides, expenses? There were hundreds of messages coming in on Facebook, Twitter, and the GoFundMe page.
Yeah, well,
so it's good.
It's ambitious. Yeah.
Yeah. No, stuff's happening.
Got to answer it.
You got to make stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Got to answer it.
Will there be chili? Nobody has gotten back to me yet, but I'm very curious if the chili will be available.
I will go if there is chili con carne.
Dear Mr. Clark, as my previous five messages have been ignored after my $10 donation, my question stands. What is the chili situation?
Sir! How many times have I asked about the chili?
I don't mean to come off rude, but what about the fucking chili? That's the end.
Four members, Wood, Clark, Sidiff, and Dussing, tried to organize, but with all the activity and people pouring in and questions being asked, they each started making changes based on whoever was in charge at the moment. So they're switching things around, not telling each other, not writing things down. There's a lot of, yes, we'll do that, and then don't tell the other guy you're doing that.
Right. They're the band who had a hit single, and now what's the follow-up?
Yeah. They weren't telling each other what they were doing, even though it was
in the way of, like, they're just...
There's just no communication.
So like decisions get made, and somebody doesn't know a decision's been made.
That's right, yeah. Wood was happy, though, with how it was going. To him, all the volunteers meant success. GoFundMe is just rolling in dough. 4 days before they were set to leave, they had $678,000. So Wood increased the goal to $1 million.
That's a weird thing you can do.
That's very common on... Anytime I've watched a GoFundMe thing, the people have increased it as soon as they hit their goal.
But can you not go past your goal?
You can go past your goal.
Right, but then you just increase your goal. Right.
I get it.
Yeah, because you're like, oh, we're going to hit it, so we want more now. But will there be chili?
Well, that's the big question, isn't it?
That's the question.
Sidiff, quote, when we hit the 2,000 mark on the sign-up roster, both Chris and I sounded the alarm. We need to shut this down. It's too many people. We don't have the capacity to manage this. Clark and Wood didn't want to cap the number of volunteers.
Okay.
They were both getting a lot of attention from the media. It was a big deal. Sidiff, quote, I think their egos got a lot bigger, and they attributed the reason for people signing up to be the draw of their own personal charisma or brand name recognition. What?
Just, I mean, you know what.
The big day arrived, December 3rd. Over 2,500 veterans headed for Standing Rock from all over the country. The next day, Wood left Los Angeles for Bismarck.
Okay.
The shit was already hitting the fan with the volunteer vets. Buses were stranded. Drivers were not paid. Veterans needed money for gas. And no one could get a hold of Clark.
This already reminds me of that music festival Ja Rule tried to throw. Remember, what was the name of it, Aaron?
Fire?
Fire with a Y, yeah.
Fire Island.
Fire Island.
Beautiful sandwiches. There's no bologna in this bologna sandwich. Like, that's literally what happened. Okay.
And no one could get a hold of Clark.
So there are just veterans. So this whole thing that is meant to connect and resonate with veterans, you've now, like...
Well, it's perfect for veterans because you're a veteran. You've done this. You've been to these wars. Not great wars. And now you're like, well, I can do something good.
Yeah.
Right? I can do something with my skills that I've learned. I can do something good. Now, they're not going armed. They're all supposed to be not armed. But they can stand there and be...
It could be a powerful image.
Huge image. Yeah. Huge point.
But instead now, they're like, where's this bus? It's cold.
That's right. So now money is still pouring into the GoFundMe.
That's good.
It hit $1 million before Wood's plane landed in North Dakota.
Okay.
There's not a lot of oversight, it turns out, on GoFundMe. The site advises donors to, quote, only donate to people you personally know and trust.
Oh, boy. So outside of that, it's the Wild West.
Yeah.
Which we've learned about on this podcast.
Yeah. You can report suspicious or fraudulent campaigns, but there isn't much evidence that GoFundMe follows up.
Okay.
GoFundMe and sites like it actually make money from fraud if it's happening, so what would be their incentive to stop it?
Right. No, it's like the sign in the locker room, not responsible for lost or stolen items.
Yeah.
I mean, they're essentially... So there's like, we built it, do whatever, police yourselves.
If you're taking...
But if you're jerks, we get a cut.
If you're taking a cut of someone stealing money, why would you stop that person?
It incentivizes theft.
Yes.
Yeah. Interesting. Or at least ignorance.
There were a lot of GoFundMe campaigns for Standing Rock. High Country News, by the way, High Country News is an independent news source that does fucking awesome work, and they live off of donations. I give them money.
Do they have a GoFundMe?
They did do a GoFundMe for Standing Rock to send a reporter there.
Okay.
But they're like, if you want good news.
Give the name again.
High Country News.
High Country
News. That's one I would recommend reading and also.
And don't get high news. It's different. Don't,
it's very different.
We forgot the breaking thing, but.
But here's a girl in a swimsuit. Yeah.
Hey, man, we weren't filming that.
What?
Weird. What was it for then?
High Country News did an investigation and found 11 GoFundMe campaigns to build yurts at Standing Rock and raise $70,000.
Okay.
Yurts.
Yeah. Right.
Yurts.
Yurts. Sure.
A California chiropractor offered his
chiropractor. Chiropractor? No, that's a German chiropractor. It's a chiropractor.
A California chiropractor offered.
You've got your spine just feels so tense.
To, you know, provide his services to the people at Standing Rock.
Right.
And he raised over $5,400. He later wrote, quote, "The conditions were far too cold to set up my own clinic. I just wanted to let you know that we donated a teepee, a wood stove, and half a cord of firewood to a gentleman who grew up in Standing Rock."
Okay, GoFundMe.
not to nitpick or anything, but a teepee, a wood stove, and a half a cord for
to a guy
for $5,400.
Yeah, these are Scott Pruitt numbers. okay, and he just gave it to someone from Standing Rock.
Yeah, that's what it says. He said, yeah.
So even
who grew up at Standing Rock. Yeah. So he.
By the way, I grew up in Standing Rock.
Oh, by the way, I'm from Bismarck. So yeah, I gave it to myself.
Oh, look at all this wood I gave myself. God is good. But the idea I would think that you would support would be the idea that you're giving money towards, like, the cause directly. You're giving money for, I mean, you know, whatever it is, whether it's clothing or like something that provides,
I mean, yeah,
some sort of sustainability for the protesters.
There's also a bunk bus that people donated for, which is something that gives out kits at music festivals to test the quality of drugs.
Sorry, one more time. What is a bunk?
A bunk bus is something that goes around to music festivals to test the quality of drugs that people are selling.
And
People paid for that to go to Standing Rock? Yeah.
Wait, no, but sorry. The drugs has obviously caught my eye. now, the bus comes by and you give them your drugs?
I think you bought drugs, so you take it in and they test it.
And they go, oh, these are good drugs. Take these drugs.
Are good drugs. They're not bad drugs.
Love the bunk bus.
But is it needed at Standing Rock?
Well, I mean...
Are you doing blow at Standing Rock? What's your deal?
Dude, we're high news, man. We got to test the potency of this stuff, man. Make sure it's good for the people.
So the bunk bus got a few thousand to go there. Some campaigns had receipts to show how they spent the GoFund money at Standing Rock, but most did not when checked. So when Wood arrived at Bismarck Airport, he saw lots of veterans standing around in their old uniforms. They were from Desert Storm, Vietnam, Afghanistan. They were everywhere.
Looking. The bunk bust was testing him. He's also from Afghanistan.
Yeah, he's good.
He for sure is.
So they're everywhere. They're looking for things like outlets to charge their cell phones, and looking for buses to go to Standing Rock. Many were also excited to be a part of the protest.
Yeah. I mean, it really is. It's like the idea of crushing that enthusiasm is particularly distasteful.
Yeah. Wood was not in uniform, so he just headed for baggage claim.
Oh, what?
What?
Does anyone else have a Dolce & Gabbana bag? Okay, great. This is mine then, clearly.
At the time, he was not aware of how many veterans were coming.
What kind of... I mean, I understand the idea that, like, you've bitten off more than you can chew, but that's when you either outsource or step up competency. It's not when you go, yeah. Whoa, man!
Yeah.
Woo!
Quote, "When I landed and saw all these fucking vets, I was like, oh no, we're in trouble. This is a problem. Okay. This is going to be a problem."
Oh God, Dave. How did you read my thoughts exactly? Oh my God.
So There was
Jesus.
They hadn't set up a shuttle from the airport to Standing Rock.
What was the plan?
There was no one with signs to direct people to go anywhere at the airport.
So they just these people just literally land and expect to figure. I mean, we've landed in places before, not knowing what the situation is, how we get picked up or whatever.
It's fucking crazy.
It is a bit of a walk of faith, but then there's someone there, or if there's not, you make a call and you get an answer. Yeah. You know. You don't just go like, hey, more veterans are here.
Well, I'm sure everybody was just on Facebook firing off messages going, what are we doing? Yeah. Or Twitter or whatever. Right. Where are we going?
Right.
So there's no one with information there. There was a designated check-in point in Eagle Butte, but volunteers were now scattered from Standing Rock to camp to the Prairie Nights Casino, which is about 50 miles away.
Oh, my God.
Because that's the biggest hotel in the area.
Okay.
A bus that was actually carrying vets had broken down outside Bismarck, and those vets were stranded on the side of the road.
Okay. All right. So we are... Ja Rule is in charge? For sure?
There's no baloney. Thousands of dollars of supplies had not been delivered to the post office box because no one had apparently set up a post office box.
Stamps.com! Wait.
They blamed Clark, but they were supposed to set up a post office box, and no one set one up, but they were sending stuff.
I mean, these are big lapses. These are, oh my God. Okay, so things are, okay.
Knights Casino, like I said, 50 miles away. A blizzard is coming that night.
Oh God, Dave, no. What? No.
So Wood grabbed his bag and got into a rental car that was driven by Anthony Diggs, a homeless ex-Marine from San Diego.
Okay.
Diggs talks quickly and sometimes incoherently.
Okay.
So that's useful.
Yeah. Okay.
Diggs told Wood there was no cell service and the satellite phone had never arrived from California because there was no post office box.
For sure. Yeah. Already established. That's an issue.
They drove to the Prairie Nights Casino, which was a fucking mess. The gaming area looked like an emergency shelter.
Oh, my God.
Because there's a blizzard coming. And everyone's freaking out.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Sleeping bags and canteens were piled in corners. The weather was getting worse, and the cops were getting rougher. So protesters all headed for the casino.
Okay.
Because there was no veteran stand organization in place on site, people just filled the void. So people started kind of taking over. L'Oreal Black Shawl, a 38-year-old Native American woman, was recruited on the casino floor to be a spokeswoman for veteran stand.
Oh, my God. Wait, so we have a what? Oh, my God. There's a movement in the movement.
I feel like you're not supposed to... Like a spokesperson should know all about the organization as opposed to just, are you free?
Well, but also like the idea that you're like, wait, we need a spokesperson? No, but we were just here to support and there's supposed to be a spokesperson. Yeah, well, there's no spokesperson or anyone and we need to tell people what's going on. God damn it, we need a spokesperson.
Oh, what about you? You have a hat?
I do have a hat. I'm ready to do this.
Wood had expected to find Clark and other vets at the casino, but when he got there... It was just thousands of water protectors, and the 2,500 veterans were not there. They were all over the place waiting for someone to tell them what to do.
Oh, God.
Wood somehow found Chris Dessing. Setup was coming on a bus full of vets. Wood suddenly put her in. So she's like not even in the state yet. Like she's driving up in a bus full of vets. So he calls her and tells her to handle all reimbursements because he suddenly realized no one was in charge of reimbursing these guys who were there. So guys are like, hey, I drove. Can I have gas money? And he's like, oh, we should do that.
Oh, my God.
So he puts her in charge of reimbursements. Quote, Wood and Clark hadn't done any leading, so everything was very last minute. I was hurriedly putting together a reimbursement form from my bus seat on the way to North Dakota. And there were already hundreds of vets there. It was just a recipe for disaster.
Oh my! When you're like pulling up, you're like, great, this will be fun. Hey, guys, I'm in charge of you getting money back.
Wood parked himself by a payphone and started reimbursing vets with cash he could withdraw from his personal checking account.
Well, that's good because that was connected to the GoFundMe.
But also, personal checking accounts have a limit. I mean, I don't know if he could pull out more because he was in a casino, but still, they have a fucking limit.
Yeah, 500, 1,000, yeah. 1,500.
But he was having problems getting money, obviously.
Right, yeah.
So he grabbed a blanket. Used
interesting.
His,
always an interesting follow-up to trying to give people cash.
Used
grabbing
his bag
the blanket
as a pillow and went to sleep in a corner.
Great. Okay, so baby go night-night.
This is a lot. Baby go sleepy.
How did he sleep? I can't sleep if I am like, my light's on? Instead is surrounded by people who...
I don't know if he was in a war, but I think if you're in a war, you learn how to sleep in through some really horrible shit.
Okay.
I might be wrong.
Okay.
But
still, okay.
Some people can sleep anywhere.
Yeah. No, but I'm talking about anxiety level.
I don't think he has any.
That's what I mean. That's weird.
Yeah. Oh, fuck yeah.
Okay,
it's
great.
It's super weird that
okay,
he doesn't. Yeah.
Great.
Oh, yeah.
Same
yeah,
page.
Yeah.
Same team.
Hours later, Sedef arrived. She was shocked. There are now hundreds of veterans asking to be reimbursed. They were handing her their receipts, and they were handing them to whoever looked important. When she finally found Wood, because they're fucking veterans, because they don't have any fucking money,
because
they just came back from a fucking war and they can't find a job.
No.
So they're putting themselves out on the fucking line.
Their side is not called into question here.
I know, but it's just...
No.
Yeah. When she finally found Wood, he gave her a bunch of unorganized receipts and scraps of paper.
Here, fix. Fix, mommy.
Stuff. Fix. Numbers.
Make better, mommy.
There were names, phone numbers, and addresses scribbled on the back.
So these are pretty professionally put together if you could just figure out how to make a file.
Quote, there were envelopes all over the place, and no one was really accountable for them. I started grabbing them, but a good portion got outright lost. So that's good. Sorry, fellas.
Oh, boy.
She then realized that no one had been using the roster to keep track or reimburse the veterans. So they're just writing.
So now, right.
So people just writing shit down on the back of the receipt, handing people money and not like checking shit off.
It reminds me of when I used the valet and there'd be too many cars, what you would end up doing with keys and stuff. You'd be like, they're just all in my coat now. And that's how I'm doing business tonight. And I'm sorry. Here's your Cadillac, ma'am. No. Oh, I didn't think so. I'll be right back. Which one of these keys looks familiar? None of them. Right. Okay. I'll be right back.
There are now around 3,000 veterans there.
Okay. Good, 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 good.
And hundreds are unaccounted for. Veteran Stan is obviously supposed to be in charge of them. Now, Chris Dussing and a Navy vet were trying to get any kind of organization going at the camps. Chris, quote, no one knew where to go or what to do. The supplies that had supposedly been ordered were nowhere to be found. You had this group of individuals who all had a different impression of what was happening. Some came for a fight. Some came for a peaceful war of some sort. There were a lot of vets who suffered from issues like PTSD and traumatic brain injuries, and they were getting triggered. Thousands of people were sleeping all over the place without the supplies that had been promised and without their medication or money to get home.
Oh, my God. I mean.
So now it's like that Woodstock that was all muddy.
Right. Well, I guess we're also not focusing on the B side of this story, which is just some guy who was supposed to take stuff to the post office to ship, but never did and just ended up with like 1,000 bags of combos and like crates of vitamin water in his place. Just sleeping on a hill of blankets and pillows.
Now, this is great.
You want work? You guys talking about work boots? I got 50 pairs. You guys want a pair of work boots?
I got a lot of Lexapro.
Whatever you guys need.
I got Ativan. I got all kinds
of
stuff.
I got combos. I got Lexapro. I got wool socks. I got gloves. I got a bunch of stuff.
I got a great satellite radio.
Oh, my God. Actually, I got 10 of them. The phone. It's just ringing. He's like, if I don't answer the ringing phone, I think I can keep all of it.
Everyone started cheering suddenly. Because Obama had announced the Army Corps would halt construction and an environmental impact analysis would be done before the pipeline crossed the river at Lake Ohio, I guess.
So this, they're safe. I mean, they're not saved, obviously, but this relieves a lot of stress because the where you're headed is kind of not important a little bit now.
But they're there already.
I understand, like, there's an enormous predicament. But you've removed, like, the second part, which is that they wanted to go help, and now you don't necessarily need to go do that.
Well, you've removed the part where you have to feed them and you haven't set that up, which is a fucking looming
nightmare ahead.
Disaster.
Yes, right, okay. Yeah. You still have an unmitigated disaster on your hands here. Right, okay.
So, you know, the Water Protectors had won this battle of the war. Not, they don't win the war in the end, but...
No, of course not. This is when wars could kind of be won.
Yeah.
It was sort of a fun era.
So this is a big moment, right?
Right.
Wood said, quote, "Well, everybody, we won. Let's go home."
All right, guys, let's just, however you got here, do that. And where the accounting is airtight on our end, so we've got all those receipts with your addresses on them. Some got lost. Lots got lost. Lots don't know how to connect. Anyway.
Nice job, fellas.
Good work. I think we really, excuse me, I'm trying to get through here. Pardon. Excuse me.
I'm going to go gamble.
Excuse me. Pardon, guys. If we can make a little room here, I'm trying to get out.
Hitting the craps table. I got $1 million.
Oh, God. The Hummer limo can't get through. I'll walk to it, I guess.
Sedef thought, quote, "What the fuck is going to happen now?"
Yeah.
How would they get home, and how could they keep track of reimbursements? The vets who had come for a fight were now showing clear disappointment. And then the blizzard hit.
Oh, no.
Oh, temperatures dropped to around 3 degrees Fahrenheit or negative 15 Celsius for those people who don't live in a barbaric country. The winds were blowing at 50 miles per hour.
It's pretty fast.
It was so cold, the propane fuel gelled.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't know that could happen.
Me either. Love to grill in some of that.
Right?
Yeah.
There was now an estimated 4,000 veterans who came as part of the Veterans Stand protest who were scattered all over the area. Sedef spent the morning madly stuffing thousands of receipts into envelopes and scribbling names and addresses on the back. Many she couldn't even read her own writing because she was doing
just
it so
freaking
fast.
Out, yeah.
And then Wesley Clark Jr. suddenly showed up.
Okay.
No one knew where he'd been. But now here he was.
Okay.
He had come to the casino to go to a healing ceremony in the casino auditorium.
No. Wait, he is accidentally running into this?
Yeah, I think so.
Kind of?
I think, yeah. I mean, he's there to be a part of Veterans Day, but he's clearly not in contact with anybody as far as
And he's going to see a healer.
Yeah.
So he gets there and people are like, "Finally, you're here." And he's like, "Yep. I need to make one phone call to a healer, and then I'm all yours."
Let's get our drum circle. What?
We're going to do a...
I think...
We're doing a sweat lodge, I thought.
I think he saw himself as the face, and I think that he is probably right about that. Like, that was...
his role.
That was, I believe...
So this falls on Wood's shoulders more than his, in a way, because he was sort of the...
Wood is in charge of the money. It's all going into his bank account. There's no organization happening... not enough people brought in, hired, or whatever. So, but Clark takes some responsibility. He's responsible for part of this.
Well,
for
he clearly is feeling guilty. He's going to heal her. Stressed out.
At the ceremony, there were Standing Rock Sioux elders and tribal members, veterans, water protectors, and journalists. Clark knelt in front of a small group of Sioux leaders, and as reporters took pictures and recorded their phones, Clark slowly spoke into a microphone. Quote, "We stole minerals from your sacred hills. We didn't respect you. We polluted your earth. We've hurt you in so many ways. And we've come to say, we're sorry." Wood and Sedef felt very uncomfortable.
Oh, my God.
They thought Clark was stealing the attention away from the Sioux.
I can't even... It's like, we didn't need Clark involved in this already.
Well, it's also like, that's not, I could say that. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
If the government says it, like if the president said those words, but just some fucking dude going there and saying that doesn't fucking mean anything.
Yeah.
It's just grandstanding.
Yeah. And keep in mind, you're saying this when you're on top of a shithill.
Yeah.
Like, where you're like, and also... sorry about this blizzard veteran situation we created.
Things were about to come to an end. Later that day, the tribal chairman ordered the 14,000 protesters to go home.
Okay.
I had no idea there were that many people.
Yeah,
there.
It's crazy. Well, I mean, obviously, like, yeah, the reporting on it was weird.
I mean, when you look at the pictures and see all the camps there were, yeah. It makes sense. But it was cool that they burned all the tents when they left. It's very environmental.
Nice.
It's super
cool.
Environmental.
That was cool for sure.
So it's over. Clark flew out on a private jet.
Wow. Wow. Man. If there's ever a time to just fly Alaska coach, it's just cancel the PJ.
Or ride with some buddies in a car.
Like something.
Private jet.
Private jet.
Would ask Sedef.
By the way, very like unnecessary pollution to the earth that we've already ruined of yours.
Private, off in a private jet.
Sorry, but the private jet fuel that continues to punish. I wish these bigwigs would stop.
Wood then asked Sedef, quote, how do we get everyone out of here?
All righty, gang. I mean, what?
Hundreds of vets were still...
Hey, man, how did we make time go backwards? Yeah, dude.
Hey, did you ever think about leaving? I didn't think about leaving.
Oh, man.
Actually, I didn't think about coming either. Yeah. I was like, this is cool, and then, you know, food and stuff.
This is like a one-night stand that just ended, and I'm like, how do I get home, and where are my shoes?
What?
I was just focused on the clothes, man.
Hundreds of vets were still unaccounted for, and now the veteran stand leaders had to figure out a way to get them home, while all the other protesters were trying to figure out how to get home at the same time. A woman volunteer in New York got to work trying to get buses to get people out. Others were flown. They used ride shares, anything that was possible.
The good news is the bunk bus was able to determine that the blizzard was real.
That's right.
Yeah.
You guys, it's cold, man.
For sure.
It's fucking cold.
We put it in a beaker and swirled it. It turned yellow.
It's basically like if someone threw a spontaneous Grateful Dead concert and then everyone bailed. That's
right.
How it feels.
And then there was no band and there was a blizzard.
So eventually this group makes it back to L.A. Who knows what the fuck happened to all those people?
Sure.
Well, honestly, I bet there's a million people.
So many people ate law.
I bet you could write a book about the stories of people trying to get the fuck out of
and
there.
And get their money back.
Yeah. So they eventually get back to L.A. So now the original goal to send vets to Standing Rock was over, right? Mm-hmm. And they still had a lot of money.
So, Dave, the question is, what do you do?
Well, they had been getting over $1 million for something that never really happened, so they discussed what to do. Wood, Sedef, Chris Dissing thought they could turn Veteran Stand into something that could make a difference in the world and decided to start this as a nonprofit organization.
Great. Okay. So they started that. And next.
Wood said he would be president. Sedef signed on with her first objective to be to get all the vets reimbursed.
Okay.
Clark moved on and severed his ties with the group.
Interesting.
So he did good work.
Yeah. No, nice plane ride to a blubbery apology.
The donators on GoFundMe started asking what was going on with all the money that had not been used.
Hey, we are not good at monitoring this and never do, but this is even weird for us. What's up?
Not GoFundMe, just the donators.
Oh, the donators. Oh, okay.
GoFundMe does not give a shit.
Gotcha.
What? So they take like 3%? So they made a nice little fucking check. Wood tried to reassure the donators in January 2017. Quote, rest assured, your donations have been put to good use. We've brought countless supplies, winter gear, hotel rooms, trains, planes, automobile rentals, and much more to help the vets make the journey and stay safe. I say countless because there are still... because we are still actively buying these things as we speak. But he never told anyone how much he had spent and on what.
Oh, my God. Jesus.
And there were issues.
I'm sure there were. Hey, guys, we don't know where the money is, but don't worry, we're still working on it. Goodbye forever.
Wood had sent thousands of dollars to spokeswoman L'Oreal Blackshaw, the woman that they ran into on the casino floor. So he was sending her thousands of dollars, and then he just suddenly stopped sending her money without telling anyone.
Wait, what? So he's just... why is he just sending her money? Because she
nobody,
was this...
Nobody knows.
So he just singled her out and sent her thousands of dollars?
Well, they don't know what was happening between them.
Something was happening?
I mean, she could have been saying she was doing something with it, or
right.
She could have been doing something with it. Like, nobody knows. She could have been totally on the up and up.
Sure.
So there's no accounting going on. said F quote.
How do you not hire someone? Like, at what point are you like, all right, we need someone who knows what they're doing?
What about a person who can do this?
Yes, that's the pitch we've been looking for. Someone who can do what we cannot do, which is everything.
So, said F quote, he would just handle certain reimbursements without telling me, and it would be for a lot of money without any accounting of what he was paying for.
He's like the Joker riding through Gotham, just letting the money out of like his blimp or whatever. That'll do.
In February, Sedef was still going through thousands of receipts. She figured they owed around 7,000. So now there's Wood, Sedef, Chris Dussing, Anthony Diggs, and this volunteer in New York. That's the group.
Right.
Veteran Stan then put together bylaws for its board of directors and submitted nonprofit registration paperwork to the state of California.
Okay.
They really felt like the organization's true mission was coming together. On March 10th.
Which is to figure out what we are.
So, I think it's to stop the pipelines. This and other pipelines. Maybe that's what they're thinking. Or to just help the Sioux. Like, one or the other. On March 10th, Wood and Diggs went to Washington, D.C. to take part in a demonstration urging the public to support the water protectors and divest from banks that help finance the pipeline. Okay.
Sure.
So, I wonder, that's a thing.
Does anyone know what Wood's bank is?
Sedef and Chris went too, but they went separately.
Okay.
According to both Sedef and Chris, Woods and Diggs spent most of their time in a hotel room eating edibles.
All right. I can't stay mad at them.
After a while, they finally went to the protest and chained themselves to the SunTrust Bank.
Hey, man, I'm having a bad time chained to this bank. What were those, 40 milligrams? Yeah, man. Just chill out, man. Just drink water.
I'm just trying to focus. I'm bringing it out. Oh, God, there's a bank.
Hey.
Oh, fuck.
I'm just going to call my dad and tell him I'm sorry quick.
Yeah.
And then.
Yeah, can you tell you I'm sorry from me
absolutely.
Also?
Dad, we're both sorry. We're chained to a bank.
When they got back to L.A., Wood wrote on the GoFundMe page that they had started the paperwork to register their 501c3 nonprofit.
Sure.
He then made a website that said Veteran Stand was a, quote, fully compliant 501c3, which means tax-exempt nonprofit.
Uh-huh.
Wood started a second GoFundMe at that point and raised another $280,000.
Sorry. Why does he need more?
Because they're doing new veterans.
Where's the old?
Stuff.
I'm still kind of waiting for the...
Well, if you start a new one, there's no comments on that one.
Yeah, but... just as far as I've heard, I would say so far it doesn't feel like we've paid anywhere near $1 million.
Yeah, so we need a new one. Because the other one is... we did that. Right?
Yeah, no.
Right, so it's finished. No. So we did it.
It's not finished until we know where that money goes.
It hit the limit.
We're not finished until we know where that money goes.
We raised the amount.
And we need to know where that money went.
Right. But
so where is that? And then we understand that you raised that. And then that went to your bank account.
Well, so now we're doing another one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Dare I ask if this one is connected to the bank account?
Yeah, it's the same.
It goes in the same account. What?
It goes in the same account.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Altogether, nice cufflinks, dickhole.
Altogether, he's raised $1.4 million.
Okay, and we've spent $15,000. So we're doing well.
Wood.
Here's the company boat.
Up with a plan.
Okay.
They should use part of the GoFundMe money to set up a home office in Southern California. Plan was. He would live there.
And of course, it needs a Keurig. We're getting there.
Place was he would live there while he ran media operations.
Sure. Oh, right. Right.
Quote, we didn't
You can't run media operations without a billiard table. Am I right?
Or a bar.
Or a hot tub.
Quote, we didn't have much of a choice, really. If you disagree with Michael, he would get upset and just do what he wanted anyway.
Cool.
In spring 2017, Wood and his wife and his 13-year-old daughter moved into a condo in Playa Vista.
Now remember, we're business people. Not having fun here. That being said, enjoy the water slide.
Honey, you can't play video games. This is my office.
All right.
This whole thing is...
Here's what we do. Guys, here's the plan, and I'm not kidding around anymore. We're doing hot tub. We're ordering sugar fish. We're having it brought in here, and a lot of it. And tonight is no joke the last time that we spend our evening doing this. Then we're obviously going to watch Tangled as a family. You kids will go to bed.
Yep.
Mom and I are going to take a little time in the jacuzzi, okay, at which time we'll order more food. Then when we get up tomorrow, we start standing for the veterans.
I'm going to make your mommy come in the jacuzzi, but that's for the vets.
Yeah.
I'm doing that for the vets.
Yeah. And don't come outside if mommy screams a bunch. She's fine.
But that's, especially if she yells, that's for the vets.
Yeah. Or anything.
This is all for the vets.
Yeah.
Whole thing.
God, we are good people. We are good people.
Good people.
There's bad people in the world, and then there's good people.
We're good. We're the good ones.
Yep.
We're helping veterans.
More Wagyu.
They would love this condo. I mean, that's why a lot of them fought.
Well, let's just throw this Wagyu down the garbage disposal and call it a night.
So the condo's in Playa Vista, which we all know is a very expensive community.
Playa Vista.
There you go. Also known, so it's known as the home office, right? Diggs, who was now homeless in L.A., was also invited to live in the new condo slash office.
Okay.
The argument was Diggs could do important organization tasks if he lived in the condo. Wood's plan was, over time, to have Diggs take over his job as president of Veterans Stand. He was the...
Which involves doing nothing.
Yeah. He's the heir apparent. He's the protege.
Sure.
Yeah. Wood...
You're going to tire yourself out from pretending to do stuff. I'll tell you that right off the bat.
Wood says the entire Veterans Stand organization was in favor of the move and that Sediff and Diggs actually picked out the condo.
Mm-hmm.
But both of them said they absolutely did not.
Okay. Sure, sure, sure.
Veterans Stand paid 14 months rent up front.
Oh, boy. Interesting.
$4,200 a month.
Oh, boy.
Almost $60,000. This included moving expenses. It was all from the GoFundMe donations.
We need to start a GoFundMe.
Wood would later say, quote, I was upbringing my family and I needed security.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, thank you.
Absolutely. Hasn't he been through enough?
How are the...
moving is war.
Thank you. How are the veterans supposed to be helped if a guy that's helping them is not in a super comfortable suite condo?
Yeah, honest to God. I mean, if you don't, you know, have a wall that is a TV, you can't focus.
No.
You know, you need a home theater, if I'm being honest.
Thank you.
You need a home theater to calm your mind in between.
Thank you.
You know, when you can say, hey, I'm going to take the day and watch all the Beverly Hills Cops. That's my war today.
That's my war right now.
You're welcome.
Wood kept promising an audit to the donators, but one never came.
What?
Diggs explained why.
Yeah, yeah.
Quote, there hasn't been public disclosure yet because while we were working at auditing December, we were called back into action when Trump signed the memorandum, which cleared the way for the continuation of the Dakota Access Pipeline. The audit had to be delayed out of necessity.
Yeah, which is why we have a climbing wall.
Yeah, that's why we have a climbing wall.
Because of this move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a game room.
Boy, I bet you they hated hearing about, like, Trump overturning that, but for very selfish reasons, like
more money, money.
Yeah, there's part of that, but then it's also like now we kind of got to do stuff, and people might refocus on us.
The crew still, everyone's still working at Veterans Stand, but they wanted to know what was going on. For instance, who had the credit cards, and why Veterans Stand still didn't have a tax ID number. They didn't know how to respond to people asking questions on Twitter. They didn't even know who was on the board of Veterans Stand.
They don't. They're not. They don't have a tax ID number.
No.
Okay. Interesting. It's not a.
And they don't know who, like, Sediff and Chris, and they don't know who's on the board.
Who is on the board?
Well, I don't know how. We'll get to that.
Okay.
So it turned out Veterans Stand had never completed the nonprofit registration paperwork. And
we forgot to hit send! Oh, us. Are we just a classic us or what?
And never responded to a follow-up request from the California Attorney General for more information. So
you're busy.
If that's the case, there is no board because...
There's no business.
There's no business. Right. So why would there be a board?
Right.
So it's just him saying there's a board.
It's a lot like when a kid takes a calculator and starts hitting numbers and printing receipts. Like, it's not a business, but it is the action of business work.
And remember, he put up a website that said they are now a fully compliant.
Fully compliant. Nonprofit. They've raised another $200,000.
And the veteran stand started to become something else. Wood and Diggs wanted to focus on doing outreach to veterans instead of Standing Rock's
stuff. Whatever. Do something, assholes.
The others wanted to keep helping Standing Rock and the Cheyenne River Sioux as originally intended.
The reason why we spent all your money on a palace is because we could never come to a resolution as to which side we should support. So we didn't want a King Solomon the whole thing.
Right.
So we just sort of built this, which is great.
I didn't know they had an extra king bed.
Yeah. And by the way, guys, the moat is not there to keep you guys out.
Right.
It's to give the alligator somewhere to live.
Right. So, for the GoFundMe people, when I started training the eagle, it was for motivational support. But now he's like a therapy support eagle. And I'm a veteran of the police force.
Keep in mind also, guys, when we first started this, we did not mean to make it a GoFundMe. We tried to sign up for a GoFuckYou page.
Right.
And we just set it all up, and then we were like, oh, that was a GoFundMe.
Yeah.
You know,
that's on me, because I thought it was GoFU.
And then that comes up, and then you just hit enter, it fills it in.
Yeah, I'm dyslexic, so I switched the F and the U.
Oh, and by the way, yeah, guys, some of your money is helping to pay to fix his dyslexia.
Right. That's why
a lot of it.
That's why I have my support eagle.
Thank you. Yeah.
So since it seemed like Noah was in charge, Chris Dessing and the New York Volunteer decided to focus on Standing Rock. They paid their own way and went back to North Dakota in March to help out. The New York Volunteer took money out of his wedding fund to do so.
Okay.
And then when they got back, they asked to be reimbursed, and Wood said,
"That's not our strong suit." Sorry, we're not really good at that part.
And Wood said the two were never given approval to go to North Dakota and were acting as, quote, rogue agents.
Rogue agents in a rogue business. You have no option but to go rogue. You live in a rogue state. You're rogue.
The New York Volunteer ended up delaying his wedding because he was never reimbursed. God.
Jeez. Well, we all know those are easy to postpone.
Chris Dessing, quote, "Things were getting really fishy. I mean, no shit.
It's the koi pond."
It was like, okay, we agreed to dispatch on this mission, but there's no money to execute it? It didn't make any sense. Chris asked for their tax-exempt number, which Wood would not give.
Oh, come on, this again?
You don't need that.
When are you guys going to shut up about this tax exemption number or whatever the hell it is?
Wood also then said that the credit cards were maxed out.
Look, they're done, okay? I don't want to... Would it help if I gave you them with money on them? Because that isn't going to happen. I think we're all looking in the rearview mirror when we should just talk about how, you know, good things went overall. And... look, they maxed out because the family got hooked on indoor skydiving.
Right, right.
And that's not cheap, right. Gang.
Thank you. And my Tesla has nothing to do with this.
Yep, my Tesla that has 2,000 miles on it, guys.
I know, right?
You know, I mean, I drove it, but that's a lot of running back and forth.
Yeah, thank you.
Have you guys ever seen a robot dog fetch a newspaper? You're going to love it. He thinks it's like a real newspaper.
In June of 2017, they had a video conference between Wood, Diggs, and all the other volunteers, right? The other people that work there. Things got really heated.
Why?
I don't know. Sedef, Dussing, and the New York Volunteer no longer trusted Wood and Diggs. Quote, "They were lying. I honest to God don't think it was malfeasance at this point. It was people that didn't know what to do. They were in way over their heads and didn't know it and were just trying to cover their asses." People on the outside of the group were discovering what was going on. A Twitter user tweeted at Wood in July, quote, "Using charity money to pay for where you and your family live is illegal. You'll be found out and arrested." On Reddit, a veteran from the original excursion asked why the money wasn't going to the new Standing Rock effort, which veteran Stan said it would do on the new GoFundMe page. Quote, "And by what authority are you keeping money that was donated for a specific cause to be used another way?"
Well, that kind of cuts it to the core.
Wood responded.
Oh, boy. By liking it.
Quote.
I was like that. Move on.
Detweeted this. None of this was charity money. It was all a personal donation. Legally, I could have done anything I wanted.
Oh, boy. There, Well, you can't buy diplomacy. I mean, how do you...
He followed up. Let's be clear. The GoFundMe fundraiser was not a charity. Legally, it was all personal donation to me to do as I pleased. Then I turned around and donated 100% of that money to create Veteran Stand, which did not exist until months later. Which none of that is true.
Or enough.
It's not.
Even that isn't enough.
No, it's insane.
I mean, like...
He put up they put up a thing of the GoFundMe page was for Veteran Stand. It wasn't for fucking him. It wasn't for
and
fucking...
And to be like, hey, man, look, like the second you're saying, like, legally, I can do whatever I want with it, it's like, buddy, you are...
Yeah.
You've lost the plot, mate.
I mean, GoFundMe was not like, give Michael Wood money and then I'll do something with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Are you guys with me?
Get Michael Wood a sick chill pad.
A couple of weeks later.
Would it help if I told you guys I had a jetpack? Because I do.
A couple of weeks later, everyone but Wood and Diggs had left Veteran Stand. The accusations of those who had donated to the GoFundMe continued. Look! The gold eye was a bad idea. I thought it was good. I can't see out of it, but it costs a lot of money. It's
and we're not
cool.
returning it.
We're not returning it.
Because you lose money then.
But I like it.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. God.
This thing.
Do you know how much it costs to put a glory hole in your home? Do you have any idea how much that costs?
Yeah, it's $45,328.54.
Well, we know because we have one.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, but I'm saying to people who maybe don't have access to a money pool.
Oh,
okay, and yeah, I let it slip. Yes, there's a money pool, and yeah, we swim in it. My God.
Yeah, there's a money pool.
You guys read the fine print on GoFundMe. Instead of donating to veterans, you donated to our man cave. Yeah. And that's pretty cool, gang.
Great man cave. So Dessingen said if we're now in a relationship and started their own organization, Veteran Service Corps, the group volunteered with the Cheyenne River Sioux, as they originally wanted to do.
Sure.
They got zero help from Veteran Stand. The New York volunteer finally got married.
They had a lot of money.
Yeah. The New York volunteer finally got married after the long delay because he was never reimbursed. Michael Wood and Anthony Diggs were now the two last members of Veteran Stand. Veteran Stand then changed direction.
Well, which way did they go towards?
They moved completely away from helping the Standing Rock Sioux fight and toward broader activism for veterans, more of a broad sort of thing to help veterans.
I was just going
to
say, this business needs to be a little more broad.
Well, I'll give you an idea. They focused pretty well to help veterans. Wood and Diggs then went on the Vans Warped Tour. You want to read that again? Where are you going?
Okay.
To help veterans.
Sorry, I thought you said they went on the Vans Warped Tour. Go ahead. Let's do another take. We'll take from the top here.
To help veterans, Wood and Diggs then went on the Vans Warped Tour, a punk summer music festival. They set up a Veteran Stand booth that promoted a virtual reality technology that was supposed to help returning war veterans deal with civilian life and the effects of PTSD.
Dave, okay. I mean, it's better to not do anything. It really is better to hide in the shadows the rest of your life than go on the Vans Warped Tour and set up a virtual reality booth to help veterans.
I mean...
How does this help us? Well, doesn't it help you forget about war for a minute?
Just a little bit.
Anyway, we're closing down because we want to see the Chili Peppers.
Oh, God. The Warp Tour headed to Albuquerque, Milwaukee, Salt Lake City, and Nashville, but when they hit Kansas City, the relationship between Wood and Diggs hit a rough patch.
What could these two fight about?
Wood said Diggs hadn't taken care of the logistics for the tour staff, and the virtual reality technology wasn't making the impact they hoped it would.
Well, how high was their expectation level for their virtual reality PTSD resolver?
At the Warp Tour booth.
At the Warp Tour.
Diggs had a different explanation for what went down. Quote, that dude is a psychopath.
Okie dokie.
Diggs left the tour, walked away from Veteran Stand and left the condo and returned to being homeless in Southern California.
That's quite a choice you've made.
Well, if that's the choice you made, how bad is the guy you're working with?
Really, really really bad.
Wood texted another volunteer that Diggs would be his, quote, last attempt at a human relationship.
Jesus God.
Which makes me think he's not married anymore, but I don't know. Right? I couldn't find that out.
Well, yeah. I mean, who knows?
The Veteran Stand Twitter account, Facebook page, and website were all taken down in August 2017, and Wood deleted his personal Twitter account. No one knows how much money Veteran Stand still has. GoFundMe does not release information about campaign funds. There was never an audit. Wood claims he reimbursed 4,500 veterans at $245 each, which is way more than ever signed on to the official roster.
That's Wood, not enough.
Wood also claims 8% of the money went to various banking and GoFundMe fees.
Uh-huh, sure.
I don't think it's 8%, but whatever.
Yeah, that's definitely high.
He did not list the condo nor the Vans Warped Tour on the GoFundMe page to keep the donations up to date on his lifestyle.
Oh, my God.
Donators.
So
good news, you guys. I know a lot of this money was going to stop a pipeline and get veterans up there, but something better happened. I went on the Warped Tour. Saw some cool bands, went to places I'd never been, Nashville I hadn't been.
I will apologize. Obviously, our virtual reality ended up giving some people PTSD, and that was the opposite of what we intended. But I will say it was really, really cool to see Jurassic 5.
I met one of the guys in Smash Mouth.
Smash Mouth guys are cool. I don't even know who goes on a Warped Tour.
I don't even.
I can't imagine, like, this is the height of irresponsibility.
For 10 months after Standing Rock, Veteran Stand claimed online to be a nonprofit, but it turns out it had never completed the documents to make it one. SEDEF then filed complaints with the IRS and California Attorney General's office. Wood is unapologetic. Do you want to hear what he said about when this reporter, Paige Blankenbuehler, who did this article on High Country News, when he was asked about the audit?
Mm-hmm.
Quote, I don't think an audit is a valid use of money. Donations were donated to me to do what I wanted with the thing. We were looking at $20,000 to $30,000 for someone to come in and do a forensic audit to come in and trace it, but at no point in time did anyone think that was a good idea. It's a board. They voted not to. If you have evidence that we misused funds, then go tell the damn IRS and file a complaint. He's completely unapologetic. Completely. Also, $20,000 to audit your $1.4 million.
Yeah, seems fair.
Fine.
So yeah, it's a drop in the bucket.
He's unapologetic. Quote: I took fucking zero. If I wanted to write myself $100,000 salary, I could have easily done that, and it would have been justifiable. The most you can do is catch me in a misremembrance.
Cool.
Michael Wood can still be found on Instagram. Michael Wood Jr. He is still active discussing police brutality. I just looked up his account yesterday. He was yesterday trying to get Joe Rogan to bring him back on his podcast. Joe has had him on his podcast. Back on the podcast so he could debate a black NRA member.
Oh, God. So
Wesley Clark said he spent 2017 recovering from a mental breakdown from his time in Standing Rock. Quote, I'm glad that I got out when I did.
Can you imagine having to go through the mental trauma that he did? So hard.
SEDEF at some point stepped down from the new veterans group she started with Dessing. She now works with Team Rubicon, which is a legitimate charity organization that helps deploy to disaster.
So there's some people zones. Who wanted to help.
She's legit. She's here. Trying to help. Yeah, there were most sure. of them. Aside from Wood, I think that...
Even wanted to help at the beginning.
He probably wanted to help at the beginning. I think that he, you know, he's obviously the most egregious of this whole group.
For sure.
Clark is pretty problematic, but also a face guy is a face guy. You get what you get when you get a face guy. You just do. They're a face person, and that's what they are. The other people really wanted to help and were really caught up in something that was fucking bullshit. They didn't say it. Maybe when they should have.
Sure.
Early on, you know, right when they got back, they they should have been putting stuff up.
But you're probably, I could understand being still in a little bit of shock. But it really is, it's how do you respond? Like, yeah. You know, there's, it, yeah, I would, I could not imagine getting $1 million to run a charity when you thought you were going to get maybe a couple hundred thousand, and it becomes this thing, and it's a little out of your control, and it feels like it's a runaway train. But that's when you say, we have a shitload of money, I'm going to pay someone to figure this out, who knows what they're doing, at least make an attempt at that. And then after that, you just take this money that you were misdonated and find the charity closest to what you were intending on doing and vet them and give them that money. And then you could tell everybody the $800,000, whatever it is, has gone here. So your money's being put to use there. Go figure it out. Yeah. But in that scenario, you don't get an office with a living wall. And I think that's a problem.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think I didn't, yeah, there was a lot of information about how fucked up GoFundMe is. And as recently as a couple weeks ago, I had people donate to this GoFundMe thing, but I'm never going to do that again unless I know the person, because you just see how insanely abused it can be. Yeah. And the fact that this is how we pay for our healthcare now is fucking insane.
Insane.
The Dakota Access Pipeline has leaked 5 times since 2017. That's a good ending. You guys thought that was going to go another way, didn't you?
I mean, yeah, obviously it, but.
Well, I'm going to do the other side at some point.
Oh yeah. And I'm sure that is insane. And even just hearing little doses of it is insane. But, you can't. I mean, that is just a terrible, it's just a terrible story about maybe a place that wanted to help and then at the end was just selfish.
We are a society that basically has just opened up our assholes and asked every corporation to fuck us. That's all we are doing. Like, GoFundMe is the fact that that's not heavily regulated and there's not tons of oversight just shows you how fucking predatorily insane our country has become. That shouldn't happen. In a normal society that cares about fucking anybody, that doesn't happen. Payday lending doesn't. None of this fucking financial bullshit happens. They should be regulated, heavily regulated. None of that should be able to happen.
Yeah. No, it's true. I mean, we live where not unlike in a time where not only would the government not stop you getting the Nigerian prince emails, but they might be sending them. And that's that. And it is until, I mean, we talk about this a bunch, but the idea of how, you know, we are going to just trace so much back in the future these fucking things.
Yeah, the phones.
These things will end up being like, you know, we lost the connections we needed, and the ones that we got that are moment to moment more enjoyable from it are just fucking useless.
Well, there you go.
Anyway, like us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, go to our website. We have tours. Watch the new season of Arrested Development. Comes out May 29th. I worked a lot on that show, and it's a fantastic show. Watch that shit. And, yeah, I think that's it.
That's it.
We sign coups. Like a coup.